Hey, I want to say something really nerdy.
Okay.
Is it hot enough for you?
I know, right?
Do you remember the Far Side cartoon where there's a guy, he's like all nerdy and he's in hell and he's got flames all around him and he says to the other guy, hot enough for you? Hot enough for you?
That's funny.
It kind of is. It's been very warm.
It's nice out today.
Well, it is. And actually, it's getting a little bit more manageable. It's only supposed to be 30 today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really hot.
Yeah. And then the other night, it didn't even go below like 27 until 4 in the morning or something. Gosh, that was really harsh.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway.
But
it's summer.
On that flip side, at least we get a what today?
We get a WOW concert.
We get a WOW concert. Remember last year we didn't because of the school strike?
Yeah.
And the year before, didn't it? Like absolute horrendous downpour.
Yeah, we've had, well,
so
June
this is the first opening night in 3 years. So don't miss it.
That's right.
You're listening live
and
tonight.
It's a bit treacherous to plan anything in June because it's typically a wet month, right? Yeah. But you can't not take the risk.
No.
You got to just plan it and hope for it. But the opening concert is traditionally the school concert bands, jazz bands. Now this year we're featuring, this year it's actually a little bit different.
Yes.
The Sass Jackson Jazz Band.
Sass Jackson Jazz.
Yes. Band. Because you know, you have two campuses, right?
Sullivan.
Jackson Campus and Sullivan Campus. So the Jackson Campus Jazz Band led by David Isaac Zirko is playing tonight. And the Shuswap Middle School Jazz Band. Yeah.
So those are the kids who are in band.
Yes.
Okay.
They're not just in concert band. They're in jazz band.
Okay.
So the thing is at Jackson, I know that jazz band doesn't happen within the regular curriculum, right?
Okay.
Regular day schedule. Those kids have to go there at 7:30 in the morning
to play
twice a week.
Wow.
To be in jazz band.
That's well.
It's pretty, like, you have to be
intense.
Dedicated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then SMS jazz band kids come up to that, you know, to Jackson, and they're kind of already prepared. So it'll just be fun to have two different jazz band groups. And
it's exciting. And then there's the school concert at SMS is tomorrow night.
Yeah. Thursday night. So, I mean, those kids are going to be hopping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, okay, so my kid is in, plays a trombone.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's in the band.
No, he'd
so
be
he's
in
not
concert.
Playing tonight. He's
he'd
playing
be in
tomorrow
concert band.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I know both my kids are in concert band, too, and they don't get to play. So,
all right.
Yeah. Okay. Although, in the past, when Brian Pratt Johnson has been our liaison, he's brought both the jazz band and the concert band
from Jackson to WOW.
Yeah.
From Jackson.
Yeah.
Not from SMS.
Not from SMS. Okay. This will be the first year that the middle school jazz band gets
so
to play
exciting.
At WOW.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is pretty exciting.
Wow.
So I hope those kids are prepared for a nice warm evening and the sun
in
their face.
They are. Yeah. Oh, the sun in their face.
It kind of is. Yeah. For just a little while, the sun's like right in their eye.
Right in their eyes.
So but that one tree is really getting big.
Yes.
So it might not be. Yeah. Oh, it might not be too bad today.
So it's 6:45.
WOW starts at 6:45
every Wednesday
from now until the end of August.
Exciting. And you can park downtown and walk over.
Yep.
Because there isn't a great deal of parking
down there. There's a little here and there, but it's a bit privatized, right? You can't park in this lot or that lot because it's so-and-so.
Yeah, we need to figure that out. We need to figure that out.
Well, I think it's not that big of a problem to walk.
Yes.
I see lots of people. Okay, here's the thing.
Okay.
If you're 40 or 50 or 60 years old, you look at some of the people coming to WOW.
Yeah.
They're like 70, 80, 90 years old, and they are carrying their lawn chairs from like Lakeshore Drive somewhere.
Oh, right, the lawn chair parade. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's true.
And so you don't have to.
You know, it's WOW night when people are walking around with lawn chairs.
That's right. So maybe in order to get your little bit of extra exercise, maybe you can park at the Ross Street parking lot and walk over to WOW. Yeah.
Or grab a bite to eat beforehand.
Exactly.
Lovely.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll talk more about the WOW schedule a little bit later.
Right. So in case you're wondering, what's today's topic? Today's topic is the art of
live music.
Live music.
Yes.
As opposed to recorded music.
Yeah. Right. And boy, we have a lot of recorded music experiences.
Yes, we
right?
do.
We get to curate our own sound.
Yes.
iTunes has taken over the world.
It has.
And we get to make
our
own music.
We get to
be our
own personal DJ.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember listening to the radio hoping they would play a song I liked, you know, or having to go to the record store to buy the whole album, you know.
Do you remember the flip, 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 flip at the record store?
Yes, I do.
Everybody's sound.
I love the flip, flip, flip.
As you go through the albums.
Mm. I love A and B Sound. I loved A and B Sound in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
I would go down on my lunch break and.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a place,
there
did you know?
Way more stuff than I ever needed.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Did you know there's a place in Kelowna, called the Underground Music Store. It's near Opus. That's how I know about it, because when Layla and I go to Opus, Sachi goes to the Underground Music Store. So, yeah, they have albums. And that lady told me that a good portion, I can't remember what she said, like 20-30% of bands are releasing vinyls.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's coming back.
It is.
Yep.
And that she has, and most of her customers, 80% of her customers are under 18.
Wow.
Yeah. These kids are buying record players from vintage stores.
It's gone through its life cycle once and it's been reincarnated and it'll go through again.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Oh, I guess maybe I should keep that one album I have. What was your first, I know we're talking about live music. Do you remember what your first album was?
I think it might've been ELO.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Electric Light Orchestra.
Because I remember, I just remember carrying it and it's black.
Oh,
and
I
want to really
download some ELO. I've written that down.
Okay. What was yours?
Oh, well, Sound Explosion 1972.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a compilation. It had Chicago.
Like K-Tel kind of thing?
K-Tel, Sound Explosion 1972. Chicago, Horse with No Name. I mean, Donnie and Marie. It had Cher. It had like Sonny and Cher. It had some R&B. It was
a totally
curated experience.
Yeah.
And
did you like every song?
I loved
on
every
it?
Song, both sides.
Nice.
And I remember we moved to North Bay and we went to, it was called Towers. It was like a Walmart of the day, I guess. And we were new in town and my mom let me buy an album. I was 7.
Wow.
And it was so good.
That was pretty great.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember buying little...
Oh, the 45s.
Or 33s, right?
Aren't they 45s?
45s are really little. 33s are a bit bigger.
Oh, okay.
So wait a minute. You're right. 45s.
Yeah.
I remember buying those because I remember getting one that had the soundtrack to Happy Days.
Oh!
Yeah. So what's that called? Rock Around the Clock.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I remember having that. I don't remember what my first one was. Gosh, I have to sit down and think before I talk to you.
No.
But to think of dates and stuff.
But it's just so interesting because for most of us, our first musical experience is recorded.
Oh, yeah.
Not live.
Yeah. Unless you live in Cape Breton.
Yes. And they have live concerts in your kitchen every weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah. And you don't really belong unless you play something in it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't play. Do you play?
No. I don't play anything.
No.
I mildly play the recorder.
Do you? Did you play at school?
No. I played recorder in school and then I didn't play out of school until I turned 30.
Yes.
And my mother bought me a recorder and a Learn to Play recorder book.
Lovely.
I know. I don't know what inspired her to do that, but then I played recorder for quite a few years after that. And then, I don't know, you get busy and you forget.
I played 1 year of piano.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good.
I think that's the one thing I didn't. I was in sports. I did arts. I was a figure skater. I did lots of those things, but I never did band. And they were cool.
Oh, band is so awesome.
Yeah.
I am so grateful that my kids both have that opportunity in the schools.
Yeah.
Really grateful. Mm-hmm.
And it's good on so many levels, right? Music, patterns, math. It's good for all kinds. Dexterity,
It's really
eye-hand
good for
coordination.
Math. Yeah.
Yeah, really good for math. I know my son, Matthew, his math mark went up. I made them do 3 years of piano.
Yeah.
And his math went up.
Nice.
After.
Yeah.
Yeah. So shout out to our local music teachers.
Oh, definitely. And I think, every once in a while, because when people come to WOW, bands come to WOW, they always say how they enjoy it, right?
Yes.
Like WOW is a really special kind of event.
Yes.
They're treated well and there's a beautiful venue and the audience actually is listening to them.
And it's I think we have an appreciative crowd.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of musicians in the area.
Well, see, this is what I'm saying. Like they're asking, why is it so nice here? Like, why do people really love music here? And I think it's because we've had fantastic music educators for many years in this community.
And
like Jim Johnson, Gord Waters, Sandy Cameron, right? All those guys laid a foundation of music appreciation and participation.
Mm-hmm.
And now we got Brian Pratt Johnson, David Isaac Zirko, what's the other, Brooke Roberts.
Oh,
right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Mr. Roberts.
Yeah. So we've got these guys that are super awesome, passionate about the music.
Yeah,
so
it's such
it's
a
catching,
gift.
Right? Yeah, the kids are going to catch it.
Exactly. It's a lovely gift.
It is. It's a legacy, right? For Salmon Arm. And look at the talent that comes out of here.
Yeah.
Right?
And then, of course, the tradition of the coffee houses, which led directly to the Roots and Blues Festival.
Yeah.
In a way. Yeah. Oh, not in a way. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like one big coffee house.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and we have Grammy winners, Juno winners, yeah, bands that played at Woodstock are going to play here.
Yeah.
That's kind of mind-blowing.
It is. I mean, sometimes you think, wow, how far can you dig to get these guys out? But in a way, this is the demographic, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who remember that.
Yeah, and then 50 years of the Grateful Dead, they're celebrating that too. So if you're a deadhead, get yourself to Savannah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so let's just, because we're talking about live music, let's talk very briefly about what live music does to you.
Okay, what your brain on live music.
Well, yeah, because there was a book, Daniel Levitin wrote a book called This Is Your Brain on Music. Do you remember that commercial? This is your brain on drugs.
Yes.
Like, this is drug. This is your brain. Yeah, yeah. This is your brain on drugs.
Yeah.
This Is Your Brain on Music is a book that's basically all about cognitive development and how music affects that. So he talks about all the components of music, rhythm, pitch, harmony, timbre, pardon me, and he ties them to neuroanatomy and neurochemistry and cognitive psychology. So he's like digging deep and doing major scientific research, and he's actually kind of reiterating some of the evolutionary scientists' theories about how music, like the role that music played in our evolution.
Yes.
So he's talking about how it created social bonding and it increased our fitness and increased our ability to communicate,
to connect
with each other. Yeah. As a social unit.
Yeah.
So music played an unbelievably important role in our evolution as a society, not just as individuals in our cognitive development, individual cognitive development, but as a group, as group dynamics. Music was the thing that kept us together.
And I wonder what the first song was. Probably some religious hymn or something.
Could be.
Or a
But we're talking like 300,000 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, really old.
I wonder if cavemen hummed. Do-do-do-do-do. Walking down the path. Minding their own business.
La-la-la.
They probably did.
Yeah, maybe they didn't say la-la-la. Maybe they said da-da-da-da-da.
Da-da-da. Strange questions we're asking, but it's true. Yeah. I mean,
it's there.
Everything had to be discovered.
Yeah.
And music, you know.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just something that we have to continually remind ourselves that it's important, that that to have music provided for us with all of the various parts of music put through a machine and raised and lowered levels and electronically altered and then put together in a form and then put through a bunch of wires, which is then through put through more wires and through little motherboards and into your ears isn't necessarily
the same experience.
Yeah, it's not live. The same as live music. So it's important to recognize that there's a difference.
Yes.
And that both are important.
Yes.
And that you have to continue to have both in your life.
Especially now, because you can record your own album in your basement.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before they would lay tracks. So there's the guitar track and the piano track and the bass track and they'd lay it all in. And you know, there'd be grooves in an album that.
Yeah.
But so in a way that was much closer to the live experience. Remember that? Is it live or is it Memorex?
Oh, yeah.
Those ads with the guy sitting in the chair with the music coming at him out of the speakers.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
But now, so yeah, live is a much different experience.
Yeah. And that's
and
why.
And many would argue a much better experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why WOW is dedicated to keeping the live music the focus
and
of that event.
And that's the thing, yeah.
It is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is not
playing, they're not like a background. They're the focus.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, we're going to have this thing and there'll be this band playing in the background.
That's right.
Entirely different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not a festival. That's the other thing, right?
No.
Like people often want to set up booths and do stuff and you should do this, you should do that. It's not a festival. No. It's a live music event.
Yes.
You're there to listen and dance.
Yes.
Move your body if you want. But basically celebrating live music. So be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't record WOW.
No.
Like there's no recording allowed. And,
no.
You know, it's just kind of let's be okay with just being there to experience that moment. It's an ethereal moment.
Yes.
Let's not try to film it and record it and save it
preserve
for later.
It and just live it.
Enjoy
the moment. That's right. And that's what people love about WOW. They just go and sit there and and listen.
It's
and
a gathering opportunity. It's like we're cavemen again. Right?
Yeah.
We're just gathering for the purpose of music.
Yeah.
And the irony is not lost on me that we just talked about how important live music is. And yet here we are on community radio
recording.
That does what?
Recording and podcasting everything.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's okay, though.
That's okay.
We're just saying that there's a place in the world for live music, and we need to continue to honor it.
There's a time and a place.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. What was
you're not just delivering a sound, you're delivering an experience.
Yes. That's right. Right. And the togetherness, right? It's the connection, too.
That's true, yeah.
Because it's very rare that you go and see live music all by yourself. It's usually a crowd. It's usually people there.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
although I'm not much into crowds, so it's hard. I find WOW challenges me because I have a bit of agoraphobia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's why, like, at the gallery openings, I'm often in the back.
You're in the office.
The kitchen. But so little bits at a time.
Yeah.
But you'll never catch me in a mosh pit or.
You know. You'll never catch me in a mosh pit either. But still, I remember being at Roots and Blues listening to, there was this, oh my gosh, it was, I can't remember the name of the band. It was just right there, but it was, East Indian music.
Oh yeah. Bombay, Delhi to.
No, it wasn't Delhi to Dublin.
Oh, no.
But it was Bangra music.
Oh,
right?
Lovely.
And I remember Cindy Durkaz was right beside me. Yeah. And we were just like bouncing up and down because it was just that kind of a beat, right? Yeah.
And then, it's very tribal, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And I remember then she said to me, I didn't know you were a Bangra music fan. And I said, I don't even know what that is.
But I like it. Yeah. Aw, fun.
Yeah. Aww. It was so great.
Those are great.
But that's the kind of moments you have. And that's the next thing I want to talk about is live music moments.
Yes.
Because every year we refer to our festival moment.
Yes.
From Roots and Blues.
Oh.
Because there's always
one moment. Yes.
That you just go,
wow,
this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those moments happen when, like, just totally unexpectedly. Like, the one festival moment we had was when Alpha Yaya Diallo was playing at the World Stage. And it was actually a workshop, so he had a couple of other people with him.
Right. Oh, I love those things.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And then the end of the thing came. The time was up. The guy's like, thank you very much. And he puts his guitar down and a couple of the other performers put their instruments down and they go and walk off. Everybody's standing up and Alpha Yaya Diallo starts to play again.
Mm-hmm.
And the other lead guy just kind of runs back, gets his guitar and starts to play. And because everybody's standing, everybody started to dance.
Oh, yay.
And so we just had this massive, like, 12-minute dancing frenzy with all these guys from Africa playing for us. That was a festival moment.
Wow.
Or 12 minutes festival. 12 minutes.
Was it 12 more than a moment?
It went on for so long, but it was just the most awesome experience. And so every year there's one of those, right?
Yes. Oh,
yes.
Sorry. I was playing live music. Not live music. I was looking for a song on my iPod to tell you about my live.
Oh, well, it's okay. Don't get your recorded music out.
No, I'm not going to play you anything. I'm just looking for a name of a song. But I don't know. So what do you think your very first live music?
Well, actually, I was really trying hard because you told me this yesterday that, you know, it would be nice to think about that. But I can't really remember specific live music events until I was after I'd graduated from high school. I'm sure that I had live music experiences, like at the ballet when I was a little kid.
And yes.
There must have been an orchestra playing.
Of course, yeah.
But the first concert.
But you can't see them.
Yeah, you can't. It's not really, you're not there to see the live music.
Yeah.
Right. The first concert I remember going to was Billy Joel.
Wow.
Yeah, in 86. And it
Fantastic.
Was really amazing.
I bet.
Yeah. And I think after that,
him and his piano. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
And I remember him saying after he played like three or four songs, like Uptown Girl and stuff.
Aww.
And of course, those were brand new at the time, right? And he said, all right, you guys, you're telling me to quit playing this old stuff. Except he didn't say stuff.
Yeah.
Or I mean, this new stuff.
Yeah.
And start playing the old stuff.
Yeah.
And everybody screamed,
yeah,
right? And then he played Piano Man and he played a bunch of his old tunes.
And I think that would be hard for bands to always have to play the old stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's why when you go to a live concert, it sometimes sounds different than the record or the, you know, CD you've been listening to forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're changing it up. They're evolving and changing.
Yeah. And they're trying to do new stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so even old songs sound new and different, right? They add a little this, they change the tempo, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, change a couple words.
Exactly.
Where the emphasis is.
And yet we're so hungry for the old stuff.
We are. Yeah. The familiar.
It's kind of, I don't know, it's ironic, I think.
Yeah.
That you hit it big and then nobody wants to listen to any of your new stuff.
Like,
I'm famous, but nobody will listen to my new music. It's weird.
Yeah. And artists feel like that too, I think.
I bet.
Right? Like, you just, your agent, especially if you're really famous, your agent will always say, well, no, I've got this lined up and that lined up. And you just have to keep producing the same thing you've done. You can't grow.
No.
No. Mm. It's tough. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what was your first live music?
Live music. I'm like you, I remember going to the ballet, the Nutcracker, when I was little. So that probably would have been it. But again, you can't see them. But my first true memory of a live music experience was 1979 in North Bay at Memorial Gardens. Dr. Hook.
Dr. Hook.
It was so amazing.
That is so awesome.
And I still remember walking around.
On the cover of the Rolling Stone.
That's right. I still remember walking around and there were grown-ups there thinking, I'm going to be a grown-up one day. This is kind of cool. This is how the other half lives. I don't even know how I got to go, honestly.
You were pretty little to be going to a Dr. Hook concert.
Grade 8.
Oh, that is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, what were your parents thinking?
I don't know. I don't think they knew. Maybe I organized a sleepover or something, but I just remember walking around the floor thinking, so cool.
Your kid is in grade 8.
I know. I would never send him to a, like, you'd have to get a permission slip or something.
Imagine if he came home one day and said,
there were people smoking dope and drinking beer. And, you know,
but imagine him coming home one day and saying, oh, you know, that last weekend when I said I was sleeping over at so-and-so's, I actually went to a Lady Gaga concert in Vancouver. Like, really?
Yeah. I mean, they were kind of at the bottom of the, you know, they weren't at the top of their game or else they wouldn't have been playing at Memorial Gardens in North Bay. But, you know, they were there. And it was great.
Yeah. Well, hey, like, that stuff happened. Remember the BC Provincial Music Tour in the, I think, late 80s, early 90s, where Colin James and Barney Bentall played at Sycamoose?
Barney Bentall.
Like, that was awesome. And they were top of their game. Sure. They were, like, super.
And it's important, you know, it's, and the province does a lot of funding to keep Live Music Canada. Council sends bands on tour. I mean, it's really, it's muy importante, I guess. I mean, and then the other really meaningful live music experiences. I went to the Symphony in Vancouver.
Oh, wow.
For Handel's Messiah one Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
That blew my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's this one piece at the end where everyone stands up and you just don't know when, but everybody seems to know when. So you just, I mean, it's such an interactive thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, nobody wanted to go with me. I went by myself. Oh, no, my friend came with me. I mean, reluctantly.
Yeah.
But I just, wow. I had goosebumps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so interesting because there's all these different arrangements of Handel's Messiah, right?
Yeah.
Every choral group does it differently. Mm-hmm. And so nobody can sing along. Nobody can, like, nobody knows exactly what's going to happen when.
Yeah.
But you're right. They all know when
they
to stand.
They just all know when to stand.
Yeah.
It really freaked me out. I didn't know what to, I was, what's happening? Are we leaving? Is it over? I didn't know what to think. And then I've had little wee ones. Like one time in Vancouver, we were walking around and the Bare Naked Ladies were in town for a concert and they just set up at the library and started playing.
What?
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh.
Or they were in a store. Like, you know, we saw them in town and talked to them and stuff.
Yeah.
So that was great because I'm a huge fan of them.
Yeah.
And then Michael Bublé used to be the house band at a pub I hung out in Vancouver. So
that's
my
awesome.
My friend said to me once, I really want to see Michael Bublé. And I said, you have seen Michael Bublé. And she's like, I don't remember. I'm like, it's because he was the house band at Bubbaloo's. Ow. That guy? I'm like, yeah, that guy. Like, from me to you, he was really, like, he was just a normal guy then.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's these little ceremonies.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And we saw Spirit of the West at University of Lethbridge before they got big, right? They're playing at the pub at the university.
I know. They all have to start somewhere.
Yeah,
right? And, of course, the Railway Club in Vancouver was so great about always having live music, you know?
Yeah.
And it shapes your, I mean, of course, you're there to drink beer and hang out. And there's live music in the background, but you know.
And also, I remember before Kanon got really big.
Oh yeah,
I mean, he was at Roots and Blues, sort of just on the
as
cusp.
He hit big,
mm-hmm. And I remember that was another festival moment because he came out and sort of here's all these big burly guys, you know, coming out with equipment and electronics, mm-hmm. and then this little dude with a little afro comes out on stage. We're like, wow, who's that? Well, that was Kanon. Anyway, and he comes out and he's hi everybody. Everybody's like hi. We're all sitting there baking in the sun.
Yeah.
And he goes, do you want to have a good concert? And everybody went, yeah. And then he said, or do you want to have a great concert?
Yeah.
Exactly. Then stand up. And he made everybody stand up.
Nice.
And everybody danced the whole concert.
Great fitness, too, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he, so much, you're sweating.
I really respected him for that.
Yes.
And then after, like the year after, he came back to Roots and Blues when he was already huge. Mm-hmm. And of course, that stage was like, you couldn't even move.
I bet.
Yeah.
No, I think I've had festival moments that I was working in the back in the
performer hospitality
area. And the Trues were on from Nova Scotia. I couldn't see them, but I could hear them. And then in the end, when they were done, I had to get them to sign a piece of paper that was part of my job. And I was like, wow, I didn't even see you, but you were awesome. I think we should call it the Roots and Trues Festival, I said. Yeah. It was so good.
Oh, wow.
The Sunday night, they were the closing
act. Oh, nice.
And they're just normal people. I mean,
most musicians are normal people, and they're happy to be there.
Yeah. I mean, some of them have all that stuff about live bands, and they want green carpet and yellow M&Ms. I mean, that's just kind of urban myths, I think.
Yeah. Well, that was something that Roger and I used to joke about in the beginning when the DIA first got involved with Wednesday on the Wharf. About 5 years ago now, I guess, we used to joke about the brown M&Ms and stuff. And the reason that apparently made it big, I think that was either Guns N' Roses or Van Halen or somebody like that.
Runs in your hoses.
Is because they just put weird things in their contract just to make sure that people actually read the contract.
Yes, absolutely.
So it wasn't really about the fussiness. It was more about reading what you're
saying.
Although
I hear the Stones do have quite specific, like they want a pool table.
Well, if you're the Stones, I know, right? You should make it comfortable. Yeah. Life on the road is not very enjoyable.
And they ask for certain kind of, like a certain, on their rider, sometimes there's certain kind of liquor they want or certain kinds of beer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
Which I think they just stocked their bus for the whole tour. Like there's no possible way they could drink all that in one night. Like not, like, they'd never be sober ever.
Yeah.
But anyway, maybe they give them out as Christmas presents.
It's just like
here's
an extra
a bottle
payment.
Of Remy Martin. Merry Christmas.
I was thinking of you while we were on tour.
Exactly. I picked this up for you on tour. But no, it's so, I mean, it must be a tough life though.
Oh, it is. It's terrible. Actually, I've talked to Brian PJ about that. He said life on the road is awful.
Was he
every
on the road?
Night. Oh yeah. He played on the road for a number of years before he started teaching. And so he actually went to a very prestigious music school in Boston.
Yes.
But you know, I mean, music industry being what it is,
they can't come to your house, so you have to go to them.
Yeah. And he said every night while everybody partied, you worked and you go home smelling like cigarettes and alcohol.
Oh,
and
I bet.
And you feel sick.
Sticky.
At the end of every night and kind of gross.
Yeah.
And you watch people get drunker and drunker. And it's not an enjoyable experience.
No.
So, you know, I suppose that those contracts for the ones that are the bigger names are designed for some more comfort so that they don't feel like they're just being the crappy, you know, backup sound for something.
Yeah. Oh, no, you definitely have to love it. I mean, that's why that movie Almost Famous is so good. Because it actually is, the cover of the Rolling Stone is in that movie.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe it was the Dr. Hook band. Like it, you know, they fictionalized it, but it's based on a true story.
Yeah.
And it shows a lot about life on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof, not for me, man.
No.
Okay, we're going to take a break again.
I don't even like going, like leaving my house on the weekend. I would definitely not. It would not be the job for me.
Oh, I know. And like leaving your family behind all the time. Yeah, like, you know, when you're married and have kids and you're like, if your kids come with you, all your kids see is this gross kind of underbelly of society.
Right.
And so you want to leave
not
them
at
home
WOW.
In safety. That does not happen at WOW. There's no underbelly.
No underbelly. But
okay.
I mean, even these people come from out of town and they have a busy life and make a commitment to live music. So when you're there, you know.
Maybe that's why they like WOW, because they're treated well and it's clean and
exactly.
happy. Yeah.
WOW.
WOW is right.
That's right.
So tonight is the opening act for Wednesday on the Wharf Summer Concert Series.
It's our
22nd year.
22nd year.
Yeah. The Arts Council is happy to continue to provide this live music
that's
event.
That's a long time ago.
That was. I know.
WOW.
Yeah. It was the year before or a year after Roots and Blues started? I guess the year after.
Yeah, because Roots and Blues is 23.
Yeah. Well, what happened with WOW is that the Vancouver Youth Pops Orchestra was traveling through town.
Okay.
Called up the Arts Council and actually, no, Barb Greer told them because the year before they had traveled through town. They arrived and they played at the gazebo and like 20 people came because there was no promotion.
Nobody knew they were there.
Barb Greer showed up at the concert and said, boy, next time you guys are through town, call us first and we'll make sure that something happens. So the next year they came through. It was on a Tuesday, but they did this big, you know, do it up nice.
Could have been Tau.
Yeah, it could very have been Toe.
Toe.
And then, so that was not the first year, but that's the first time they presented a concert on the Wharf. So the next year, when they were coming through and setting it up again, they set up three other Wednesdays and did it on a Wednesday. That was the very first Wednesday on the wharf.
Lovely.
Yeah. So they had four, and then the next year it was 6 weeks, and the next year was 7 weeks. And yeah,
small.
And it starts small and it grows.
Yeah.
And 22 years later.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
So at the 20th year, we honored Barb Greer, saying that, you know, thanks for this, because it's been a pretty awesome community.
Yes.
You know, well, everybody just looks forward to it. Like Diana was just delivering posters, and she said, wow, it's so much easier delivering WOW posters than any other posters.
Yeah, everybody
people are like, yes, give me the schedule.
Yeah,
I want to see it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we're just getting those all up now. Of course, you know, it takes time for all that sort of stuff to get confirmed.
And it is an entire summer program.
So, it is. Yeah.
And we have lots of great bands.
We do.
Some new, some familiar.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, the WOW policy is to bring a mix in, right? Mm-hmm. And it's usually a blend of local bands and touring bands.
And no cover tunes.
No cover tunes. The bands have to be a minimum of three members. Because it's a big outdoor venue. Yeah. You can't be just one guy up there or two people. And then they have to write their own music. And one or two cover songs is okay, but they have to be preparing their original music. And
they're performers, but they're mostly musicians. There's a difference, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think with the Arts Council, the policy is to support excellence in the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And so while lots of cover bands are fantastically talented people, you really do want to put your support behind people that are being innovative and helping the arts community grow.
And adding content.
Yes.
I guess.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, lots of the funding agencies are telling
us
that too.
That's right.
Right.
That's
so we kind of have to go along with it. Not that we wouldn't otherwise think that was a fantastic thing, because we've got a lot of talented songwriters and composers in our community, and we want to make sure we highlight them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do it. So anyway, yeah. So we got the SAS Jackson Jazz Band and the SMS Jazz Band starting tonight.
Wednesday, if you're listening live.
Yep.
If you're not listening live, see you next week.
Yeah. And next week is Majesty.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. As we go down the list, each of the bands might seem new to you, but they're probably not new. They're just a new formation of musicians that we know.
Yeah, because bands always move around.
They do. Yeah. Except the Salmon Armenians.
No,
pretty much
of course,
can guarantee that those guys are.
But even they've had new members.
Oh, yeah. But at least they keep their name the same, right? Like there was a couple of years there where we had the same band for like 5 years, but they had a different name every year.
There you go. That's clever.
Well, who knows, right? Like, I don't know if that's clever or not, because some people avoid the ones that they don't already know.
Oh, right. Mm,
okay. Anyway, Majesty is Jordan Dick's band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So in case you're wondering.
Okay.
And Cod Gone Wild.
Actually, I hadn't heard of it before. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And Cod Gone Wild, everybody's heard. Those are those amazing Celtic guys from Vernon. Celtic East Coast kind of sound mixed with.
And they played at the Salty Fest.
They did. And actually, they're getting a lot of Salmon Arm play this year, which may mean that maybe they won't come back to WOW next year. Like,
So see them while you can.
Yeah, and it's not that we're like, oh, you're overplayed.
No,
right?
No. But I mean, they're going to go on to other things.
Exactly. And they're going to...
At one point, we'll be too small for them.
Exactly. And we don't pay that well. So lots of times, like, bands
but
stop...
But we do pay. People need to know that.
Yes,
this is not a free...
Oh, yeah, no.
Like, it might be
bands
free...
Bands don't donate their time.
To you, it's... I really, that free is a four-letter word. It's an open event.
It's open and accessible because it's admission by donation.
Yes.
So if you want to just throw in a toonie, that's welcome. If you want to throw in a 20, that's welcome too.
Yes.
So yes, admission by donation.
But you're
most
all
people
welcome.
Throw in $5 when we run around with the donation buckets.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. It's actually, that's pretty reasonable when you think of family, $5, right? I'm just happy when somebody throws in a 20. I'm like, woo.
Woo.
Makes me happy. So anyway, Cod Gone Wild is back. Blackberry Wood is back. Greg Drummond's back. Elk Tribe is back, which is nice. So some of these bands, like people literally, like when we go around looking for sponsors, some of our sponsors say, you know, I want Elk Tribe, right? Like they say that who they want. So, okay. But also, we also have kind of a lifespan for bands too. Like sometimes after having them for 5 or 6 years, it's like, okay, let's take a break.
Like what about Million Dollar and Pennies? Where are they? They're my favorite.
Yeah, but they're like, they live up north now.
They
went to work up north. Yeah. I know. See, that's another thing. People say, how come you don't have so-and-so? It's like, well, so-and-so actually doesn't play anymore or something, right? Or they moved away or they don't.
Yeah.
They don't play
because it is, what's the word to use? Ephemeral. It's not forever.
Yeah.
You know? And it's true that sponsors will have a preference. I want Cod Gone Wild or I want, and that's great.
Yeah.
But more importantly, you know, I challenge any business, if you want to have an event, you want to host an event for your staff, sponsor a WOW concert.
Yeah, I know. So easy, hey?
Invite the whole family. Yeah. Invite the whole neighborhood. Invite all your suppliers.
Yeah. And bring the biggest picnic out of anybody there.
Bring a huge picnic. Voila.
Yeah. Party.
Nothing else to do.
I know. Well, right? There's always some party, like some birthday party, a kids event of some kind there. People are always doing their personal family things there. It's
exactly
great. Because where else can you get that kind of entertainment for so cheap?
What is a sponsorship?
$250.
Oh my goodness, that's the deal of a century.
Yeah. So we do have season sponsors, right? Like, Saskew and Selmer Association, like they're season sponsors. They're supporters of the program, which is awesome. But then we have our individual.
Rock too. We don't want to forget our friends.
Easy Rock, Prestige, and of course, Downtown Seminar. Mm-hmm. But the performance sponsors are what's $250. Yes. And so that's one performance. They get
the one.
It's a Seal Skull Hammer. It's Sonia Vernon Woods Night, right? Like you kind of pair these people.
Oh, that's a good pairing.
Yeah. You like that?
If Sonia, if you're listening.
Yeah. So Seal Skull Hammer's back this year, which is exciting because they did a wonderful show last year.
What are they called? A jug?
A jug band.
Jug band.
You're right. There's another word in there.
I don't know.
Anyway.
This is really not an area I know a lot about. I know I like it. Remember Joel Plaskett? Speaking of live music, wasn't he great?
Yeah.
That was such a great concert.
Yeah. Well, he's awesome. He's awesome. Anyway, so I just want to point out Folk Roadshow is coming.
Okay.
And I don't know for sure because I didn't go to high school in Salmon Arm, but apparently Dominique Frico is a local dude.
Yeah, I feel like I know that name.
Yeah?
I don't know why.
Anyway, he's in the Folk Roadshow and they're coming. So this is the Folk Roadshow is made up of four folk musicians who are individual musicians.
So they're roadshow. They're on a
roadshow
together.
But they just get together.
It's like Lilith Fair, but...
Yeah.
I did see Lilith Fair too. See,
did you?
I have more.
That's awesome.
I know. Well, Bruce Coach here in town used to work on their buses.
Oh, yes.
Because they toured.
Right.
And they had tour buses, so...
Yeah.
And we have a connection there.
Oh.
It was work for the guys, but it was Lilith Fair for me.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So it was great.
Yeah. And then Paul Philick is back, GB Roots. GB Roots is Kirby Green, right? Tovey and George Green's daughter.
Oh,
she's
lovely.
The lead singer of GB Roots. And great
Drummond's
bands.
George Green from Askew.
Yes.
Yeah. Who are also sponsors of the C?
Yeah.
You could do a big info chart about all the connections.
Oh, yeah. There'd be a lot of arrows.
Yes.
But the thing is, most of these bands have some connection to Salmon Arm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is the difference because lots of people think, they're from away and you're always getting these touring bands. Well, lots of these people actually either grew up in Salmon Arm or their mom lives here or like there's some connection.
Oh,
that's
connection.
Why.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the reasons why we have them.
Yeah.
Not just that they're awesome and they compose amazing music and they've got, great outdoor presence.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's some connection here, we know that the audience will love it.
Yes.
And so we'll just,
bring
them in and see how it goes.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then
we should be putting that in our posts so people understand. There's the connection.
I know. I want to do like a WOW education seminar.
Yes.
I've probably got 20 minutes of material I could tell people about why policies developed, like the no vending policy.
Yes.
People are always asking, why don't you have a market? Why don't you do this? Why don't you? No.
That's not overloaded more than it is.
No, it's not a festival. It's a live music event.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the kids are running around, but they're dancing. It's important that they have unstructured play time of moving their bodies. We don't allow anybody to sell anything.
No, there's already a concession on the grounds anyway.
And we rent that space from the city. We don't get it for free.
No.
We rent the gazebo and the grass area, like the park area all around it, up to and including the sidewalks. I guess up to the road on the one side, up to the sidewalk on the other side, and way up to those pipes on the other side.
Yes.
So, and up to the shoreline on the back.
Okay.
So that is space that we have paid for.
Yes.
So we are not allowing anybody to sell anything or offer any, giveaways, no business things in that space, in that time, because we don't want our audience to feel sold to.
No.
We want our audience to be there to enjoy live music.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
So that's all it is. Please let it stay about live music.
And, thank you to the season sponsors and the performance sponsors.
Yeah.
And thank you to those who donate. This stuff does not happen by itself.
No. And of course, because we pay the band.
How much is it? $15,000 program?
$24,000.
$24,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good so thing it's about, I'm not in the concert.
It's about $2,000 a concert
a show.
To put on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we pay the sound technician, we
yes.
pay the band,
yes.
and of course we pay rent on the gazebo,
yes.
we pay a little electrical fee, we pay a site coordinator,
yes.
and we pay for some advertising, we pay promotional material, we pay for signage, you know, like we just, but there's a lot of costs putting mm-hmm. this thing on. And I don't know, I just, and also we have an awesome little program called Random Acts of Music.
Yes.
And that is a paying gig for those young
That's
musicians.
Great.
So, I mean, we do get sponsors. We get sponsor help for a lot of these things. Probably sponsors pay for 2/3
okay.
of the whole program.
Mm-hmm.
The other third comes from the donations that we collect at the concerts.
Yes.
So it is so important that people are willing to donate at the concerts.
Yeah.
Because they're an important part of the equation.
I mean, give what you can. I mean, we're not trying to guilt you into it, but it's more the acknowledgement that it might be, it might seem, air quotes, free, but it's not free. It's
yeah.
open.
Yeah.
So if you can give a toonie or a loonie or a 20, you know, please, that makes a very big difference. And
it
you're
does.
Making, you know, that's good value for money.
It is really good
12
value.
Concerts for $24,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anybody else has done it that cheap.
No.
Like when you talk to festivals that all over the place,
mm-hmm.
their budgets are not that
no.
low.
No.
But like I said, we're not a festival anyway.
No,
so.
We're not.
So anyway, Random Acts of Music, I just want to say, employs youth musicians.
Yes.
They travel around the downtown Salmon Arm on Wednesday afternoons, playing.
To kind of get us in the mood for, wow.
Yeah, they just take the little brochures around and they play randomly. And sometimes it's a single musician, sometimes there's a duo.
How and fun.
It kind of is fun.
Like
they get
minstrels.
A bright orange t-shirt
yes.
that they're really noticeable. And I love how this is our third year doing it. And the Salmar Community Association is our sponsor. So that's awesome that they're happy. And they even give the kids a movie pass too.
Aww.
So, yeah.
Perfect.
So they get paid for this work. And so for some of them, it's their first paying musical gig.
Mm, and who knows, right? They might end up, then they'll have a band and end up at WOW and
yeah.
maybe end up at Roots and Blues. Like,
that's right. Never know.
Yeah, the seeds of, yeah.
Yeah, it's all about kind of supporting the excellence in music
mm-hmm.
and making sure that people understand that there is potential, right? You don't have to look at your son who's been in his basement for 6 hours a night playing his guitar as a failure, right?
No.
Like there might be
oh,
an
please,
actual
no.
successful career there.
Yes.
You can be anything from a film orchestra to a you know, a superstar to a backup
yeah,
to a
compose
to a
music
te-
for
a
video games.
Music teacher. Yeah, I know. Like yeah. there's lots of potential. So
Absolutely.
Let's just aim for excellence and we'll
just
get there.
Also an interest, a hobby, a passion. Those are all good things.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like how many people do you know that have a, you know, a I don't want to say day job that's like whatever, right? Pretty straight and technical or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, but on weekends they're playing with their band.
Yes.
So, you know, there's got to be passion in
yes,
our lives or
absolutely.
Else it's not worth living.
I know. And we can't do everything just in the hopes of turning it into a viable career.
That's
I mean,
true, yeah.
Who would play soccer? Who would play hockey? Seriously.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Sometimes we just do things for
yes,
fun because
exactly.
we love it.
I want to be a professional newspaper reader. Is that doable? Or a professional Holmes magazine TV watcher?
No, sorry.
Actually, if I could play in a band.
Check the classifieds.
That's right. What instrument would you play if you could be live on stage in a band?
I'd play the saxophone because then I wouldn't have to sing.
Oh, good idea. I think I would be in for the
tambourine.
Tambourine. That's about all I can do.
You'd stand on the back and bang it on
yeah,
your hip? Okay.
I want to be the backup.
The backup to the backup?
Do the backup and step side to side with my tambourine.
Louise is dancing for those of you who
That's
can't
right.
see.
Of course, there would have to be some nice footwear involved.
Of course.
Because they always have such nice
yeah.
shoes, like go-go boots or something.
Kinky boots.
That's right. That's all I could contribute.
Okay.
Boots and the tambourine.
We'll start a band, you
okay.
and me. All right.
We'll
take
go-go
a break.
Boots.
And now...
As the art world turns... A dramatic moment in the arts.
Well, it's very dramatic when we have two dramatic moments.
Two dramatic moments.
Yeah.
I think yours is more topic appropriate. Than
well,
mine.
Yeah. And I was yeah. excited because it was so musical.
Yes.
But something happened overnight that is even as dramatic. Anyway.
Dramatic.
So I'm going with mine first.
Yes, we're
going
to go with the music one first.
Okay. So, you know Henry Mancini?
Yes, of course.
Pretty famous composer,
yes.
dude. Well, you know, he wrote the score for the film Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yes.
Right? Audrey Hepburn, most famous sort of...
Beautiful.
Yeah. Holly yeah. Golightly.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows, right? Who
she
that is.
She would have worn go-go boots. She did wear go-go boots.
Probably did, mm-hmm. yeah. So, Henry Mancini had to write a song for her to sing, and it was known that she didn't really have much range.
Oh, okay. And you know why? Because I think in My Fair Lady, they tried to get her to sing and they ended up having to dub it all.
Oh, so they didn't want to do that.
No.
In Breakfast at Tiffany's. So Henry Mancini watched her in a movie. I can't remember which one. Kind of figured out what her range was, and he wrote Moon River for her.
Wow.
He wrote the melody in like half an hour, banged it out on a napkin or something, right? Called up his friend, Johnny Mercer, for lyrics. Johnny Mercer wrote three sets of lyrics. Henry Mancini picked one. That's what she sang. Moon River. It's like so famous.
Wow.
It won an Oscar that year
for
original song. So, but you know what's interesting? They never actually properly wrote it out.
It was just... like talking.
Yeah. Yeah. And it goes like this. And here's the quickie little sketch.
Oh, you could just see them at the piano.
Yeah.
You know, but nobody ever said
wrote it down. And so this is big that this guy.
So if it's never written down, can it be copyright? Was it?
Well,
who knows?
I don't know how that
whole intellectual.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's so famous. It just seems ridiculous that it had never been written down.
Nobody's written it down.
Anyway, this guy, Justin Freer, restored the whole musical soundtrack to Breakfast at Tiffany's and Moon River. And so what they're doing is they're performing it. It's the world premiere of the performance of the new, of the composition, brand new composition. Well, it's not brand new, but you know, of Moon River on June 12th at the Royal Albert Hall in London. Yeah, this is big.
Yeah.
And guess who's going to sing Moon River?
I don't know.
Henry and Ginny Mancini's daughter, Monica.
Aww.
She's going to sing Moon River in the first film orchestra performed performance.
Lovely.
Of Moon River.
So I know. The notes had never been written down.
No. Nope.
It had just been passed like an oral tradition.
Yeah. Well, there's a little sketch, right?
Yeah.
It shows his little sketch of when he first banged out the melody and like do. So it's just the melody part, right? But I can imagine, I'm not sure about this, but I can imagine when you go to film orchestras and you're somebody like Henry Mancini, you're like, okay, you, da 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 da, right?
F sharp.
And then, you, how about this? Do 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 do, right? I'm kind of imagining that it's very artistic, collaborative, you know, to make it. So they did it for the film. And then that was it.
Yeah.
Wow. Like it wasn't a composition that was formulated and released
to the. Symphony is such an inspiring example of collaboration.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So anyway, that's the dramatic moment I have.
Wow.
So if you happen to be in London, you know,
on the 12th?
On June 12th.
Yeah, I'll check my book.
I would
love
Friday.
To go to Royal Albert Hall. That'd be fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so my dramatic moment, I mean, it's not mine. It's everybody's.
Well, it is dramatic for you because this is a big part of your life.
Yes, it does. And it does have an art tie-in, is that Evan Solomon has been let go from CBC.
Yeah.
And he was the host of Power and Politics, my favorite show ever. And also The House on CBC Radio, my second favorite show.
Yeah.
And because it's allegedly taking commissions in... while brokering art sales.
Brokering art sales to his
famous
people he's interviewing. Yeah.
And so he allegedly used his influence. And the people who were involved in the sale didn't know he was getting a commission. So sad face.
Yeah.
How could he? I don't get it. There's probably more to it than that, but who knew you could get in so much trouble selling art?
I know, but you sort of can imagine, right? Like, so these art agents are like, hey, you get to talk to all these big wigs. Why don't you get them to buy some artwork?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll give you a cut, right? Like, you sort of see that it sounds simple on one side.
Sure.
Problem is those people were his captive audience, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't even know what they would call it.
Yeah.
Just that whole commission piece is a bit dramatic, right?
Yeah.
Like hundreds of thousands of dollars, allegedly.
Well, I don't think CBC Radio pays that well, so.
Maybe not. Although they thought he might replace Mansbridge.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
The anchor with no coverage. Ah, I love that joke. I don't know.
Okay, well, anyway, it's just another example of crazy art sector stuff that sometimes gets a bit out
it
of...
It is dramatic. There's a lot of drama, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, tell us about your experience. You were contacted by a gallery in New York and they wanted to show your work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they contacted me and said, we found your work online.
Yeah.
And we'd like you to apply to be to have an exhibition here, and they had an online process that was actually fairly straightforward. So I actually spent the time to do it. And of course the response was, you've been accepted.
Wow.
We'd love to have you exhibit here. And this is Agora Gallery in New York. And then it was,
you must have been so excited.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. And I'd heard about another artist from Kamloops who'd been picked up by a gallery in New York. And the understanding was that if you get like this one little exhibition, because they do have a group thing. And so you kind of, you get 20 linear feet of wall space, and then they have these group exhibitions. And then if you get picked up, then you actually get, like, they're your agent, then they act as your agent. Right. So it's actually like a doorway, you figure. Anyway, you actually inspired me to do this because there was some kind of film crew that was coming to Salmon Arm, wanted to sell their product to Salmon Arm. Yeah. And you Googled the name of the company and then said, is a scam. Mm-hmm. And then you got all this stuff, mm-hmm. right? Which was really important for all the players to know.
Yeah, it's a great way to figure out if something is a scam.
Yeah.
If you think it's a scam, like Ronco, whatever.
Yeah.
Beef dehydrator is a scam, and it'll tell you all the nasty stuff about.
So that's what I did. So I went on Google, Agora Gallery is a scam. Well, you would not believe the number. Like, it's like, Google found 110 million hits in 5.2 seconds or whatever.
And nobody had anything nice to say.
Yeah. So that was interesting. And really what they're called now is vanity galleries.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's for people who want to pay, because this was $3,000 to... like your entry fee, right? And then you had to ship your own work down there. You had to get it there on your own expense. So, and then they wanted you to come to opening night and all this stuff. So it's really, the whole system is now designed to take advantage of people who already have the money, who want to be famous.
Yes.
And can pay for it.
That's why it's called vanity. There's vanity publishing too.
Yeah. How does that work?
You're contacted. I see you're a blogger. We're interested in publishing your work. It's $25,000.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It could be $2,500. I mean, you can hire someone to help you publish a book, but the vanity piece is when you pay the whole bill.
Yeah.
The publisher takes no risk and you are shipped 2,500 copies to do with what you want.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and you know what? Maybe that's what it comes down to, vanity.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Evan got stuck in the vanity trap.
Yeah.
Made him feel, I mean, who knows?
I know. I think it's easy because you have the money.
Bands get in that state too.
Oh, for sure. Like recording it could labels,
totally messes
right?
you up.
Man. Yeah.
And humility is what you need, not vanity.
Yeah. And people that try to stick
a humility
to their
publisher. That's what I'm going to do.
Humility publisher.
Yeah. Where I'm going to tell you how rough it is.
I'm
going to
start a humility gallery then too.
I'm going to really lay it on the line. Look, this is how it works. You're not going to make any money. You're not going to be famous. Your book will look nice.
But if it's quality.
And everyone will get one for
it
Christmas.
It will become, but if something is quality, you will become successful, but slowly over time. It doesn't happen overnight. And there's no promise in the world, no matter how much you pay.
There's no carpets.
Exactly. You have to work and you
Let's
have to
do it.
Evolve.
Let's start a humility company. Not vanity, an anti-vanity company.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and it's totally valid. We're in a time of everything. People expect everything right now.
I know, and
right?
think at your fingertips. And there's one Margaret Atwood. That's it. Just one.
Yeah.
The spot is taken. Right?
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. And we can't. And it's the same thing with hockey players.
Wayne
right?
Gretzky.
They can't. Yeah, and everybody is kind of set up with the promise that they're going to be NHL superstars.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's, there's what, 30 guys a year that get to go into the NHL?
Yes.
You know, and then there's what, like 300,000 kids that play hockey every year?
Okay. So play for fun.
Yeah.
And you know what? You're not going to be the Rolling Stones. But if you get to the WOW stage, enjoy it.
Yeah.
If you're an audience at the WOW stage, enjoy it.
Yeah. Right?
These are fleeting moments.
That's right.
And very unique, only one time. Yeah, I can think of a lot of concerts I went to where comments were made or things happened that will never happen again.
Yeah.
You know, they played it in a way they never played it before.
Yeah.
And that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when I saw Michael Franti.
Oh,
at
yeah.
Roots and Blues.
Yeah.
I was prepared not to enjoy him.
Oh, were you?
And I loved his concert.
Really? Oh.
He was the only performer that whose CD I bought that I liked his CD as much as I liked the live performance.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I still listen to it. Diana, bless her heart, puts it on the gallery's stereo every exhibition while we're putting labels up.
Oh.
That's our traditional song to put labels up to Michael Franti.
That's yeah. right. You know, my go-to is I love Graceland, Paul. Simon's
yeah.
Graceland.
Yeah.
And that's my listen to really loud in the car
yeah.
CD.
Well, I know, like,
the kids
what
in the
other
car.
Thing do we experience so emotionally?
As music. Yeah.
It makes us cry. It makes us remember. It makes us gather. I mean, oh my gosh. It's so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And let's just let it be powerful.
Exactly.
It's okay.
So, again, thank you. And thank you to the District Arts Council for 22 years of wow, and starting again tonight, and please join us if you're listening live. If not, we'll see you next week for
Majesty. So you can check out the whole schedule at www.salmonarmartscenter.ca/wow.
Yes.
Or if you just go to the website, it's at the bottom there. It says
wow.
And then you get the whole schedule, all of our beautiful sponsors who make it happen. And then you can go to Facebook. It's Wednesdays on the Wharf.
Wednesdays.
Because technically it's actually Wednesday on the Wharf.
Oh, okay.
But the wow page is Wednesdays the Facebook page is Wednesdays on the Wharf. And you can follow us on Twitter.
Yes.
At Wow Concerts.
Oh, yeah. I'll do that.
Yeah.
I did not know
and
that.
So we'll tweet, especially if there's last minute changes.
Yes.
You know,
calling it for storm. But there won't be a storm today, so it's definitely happening.
Yeah. Well, it's been great, and I'll see you at Wednesday on the Wharf.
You sure will.
Have a great week, everyone.